We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is Kits and Wagers. I'm joined by Chris Owen. We're talking the second half of game week 21. We got three more games on the docket here. Saturday game, a Sunday game, a Monday game. Chris, you just told me before the show you're moving. So you got a long day ahead of you, before we get into our bets here. So it's going to be a fun Friday is what we'll call it.
Yeah.
Finally Friday, fun Friday. There we go.
Yeah, gonna be a long day, you know, but that's okay. We're not moving too far, so I don't have to worry about driving great lengths. We're just moving down the street, so nothing too crazy, and just a good weekend. I think priority number one, however, is getting the TV back up and mounted. We got a big weekend of games here, and we don't typically do this, but this will be our we'll have given eight bets for game week 21. Usually we just give around four with the three games in a parlay. So getting a little extra here out of the game week. And then of course, grew up in Wisconsin, big Green Bay Packers fan. We got Packers and Niners on Saturday. So it's priority number one to get that TV mounted and make sure that we're in full swing, ready to go when those games kick off.
Yeah. You're going to need to, a lot of stairs, maybe not a lot of driving, but it's going to be a lot of stairs going up and down here. So
might have to get limber, a little warm up, a little cool down.
You can't, you got the dedication here from Chris. I don't know if I was moving today, I don't know if I'd be still doing the show. I'd be like, no, I'm good. Let's pause it for at least a week here.
I have to give out my eighth bet of game week 21 on West Ham Sheffield United, that huge matchup. So
the people need to know. After Chris went 3-1 last week, was it 3-1?
I think it was two, to be honest with you. But
all right, for your game bets, you went 2-1. I hit my parlay bet, but my other three did not hit. So we're gonna turn that around here. So the first game we're talking about, we got five games to pick from. And we didn't want to throw in Arsenal Crystal Palace here, but so we're gonna have Brentford home against Nottingham Forest. Again, check out our soccer betting pages where you can find all of the odds and compare odds from four different sports books. We also got futures over on the site as well. Brentford home -115. This one moved a little bit because I wrote this down yesterday. It was -105. It is now -115 for Brentford to win. Nottingham Forest are +320. And over 2.5 goals, -125. Under 2.5 goals is +100. Depends. I guess this is where you want to compare sports books because Chris gave me his bet 7 hours ago, actually, I believe. And he had a different number. So we're going to have to find the best number here for his bet. But the big news is what I'll say. Ivan Toney is finally back here. So Ivan Toney is going to start. Thomas Frank said Ivan Toney is going to start. That is the big news of the weekend. And they also added Sergio Reguilón. So they actually have a real fullback real left back they can use. I think he's actually going to start right away just because they don't really have another. They don't. All their fullbacks are injured. Saman Ghoddos is also away at African Cup of Nations. So getting some help here, Brentford, after it's been a pretty difficult couple months. Bad news for Nottingham Forest is they don't have Morgan Gibbs-White, and their back line, they're down a bunch of center backs. So Felipe remains out. So next to Murillo, it could be Omo Bamidele, who got his, I think he scored his first Nottingham Forest goal midweek in the FA Cup. The other option is Joe Worrell, who was basically banned from training earlier in the season. Omo Bamidele is a former Norwich City center back who barely played in the Premier League with Norwich City. So Nottingham Forest have some issues while Brentford are actually getting some new players. So I'm leaning Brentford here, but are you also leaning Brentford?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm in a similar sense here. Brentford at home, obviously, that plays a big role here. I don't think they've been super they haven't been like the best team at home, but they're at least not, I think they're like bottom third, actually. I think they're 3-3-4. So four losses at home, not the best showing there, but I think the first thing I looked at when I looked at this game was Ivan Toney, anytime goal scorer nods, man. I feel like, you know, had I got suspended for 8 months for betting, I would probably be like, come on the pitch with my hair on fire and be ready to score some goals. Of course,
Thomas Frank said he was like an 8-year-old schoolboy or something. Is what he said, 8-year-old boy. Yeah, and on the training pitches, at least.
You have to believe, like, you know, he hasn't had 21 games or 20 games or, you know, plus FA Cup and League Cup. Like, he's fully fit. He's raring to go. I'm sure that during the time that he spent on the sideline here in the past months, he's just been training. You know, not dealing with the injuries that you would typically deal with in like the rigors of a full half season of the Premier League. And, you know, Brentford's kind of struggled to score goals. It's not like they've been just like filling it up with goals either. They have, you know, they're probably bottom half of the table. They have 26 goals in 19 matches played. You got to believe they start to find the back of the net at a little bit more consistent rate when he's in the lineup. There's so many injuries for both teams. I'm interested to see how this kind of all turns out. But when you go to the handy dandy EPL lineups page on rotowire.com, you just see a laundry list of guys who are going to be missing here. So I like Brentford at home personally. I like Toney coming back. He's at plus 100 anytime goal scoring odds. And it looks like there's been a little bit of movement. You mentioned, I think, the line moved here in the last few hours from it's a little bit more towards Brentford. Same can be said for the over. I looked last night, and this was literally probably about 11:30 p.m. last night. It's a little after 7 a.m. here. And it's at minus 120. The over 2.5 I have on the DraftKings Sportsbook is minus 125. It was minus 115 when I looked. So a fair bit of movement. Usually you don't see it go too much in a short amount of time. So I'm wondering if, you know, maybe some of the defensive injuries that Nottingham Forest has have affected the line a bit. But I like the over 2.5 at minus 115. I think, you know, Brentford going to – they have a striker now. They have – I mean, not that Johan Vissa wasn't in Mbeumo, haven't been, like, terrible, but I, you know, Ivan Toney's Ivan Toney. There's a reason he's been rumored to go to like Arsenal and some other big clubs. So I think just the addition of him, and they can kind of, you know, get back to playing their system that has been so successful for the last few years. I like the over 2.5 goals here at minus 115. It's not like Forest are like a super, you know, amazing defensive team away from home either. So they're probably, I think they've given up 20 goals here in 10 matches away from home. So I like over 2.5, and looks like your senses maybe looking at the bees as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with your bet. Another one of my options was Brentford over 1.5 goals. I think that one's now minus 120, minus 125. So that one's also moving up. Those were the two bets that were,
yeah,
I first looked at. Nottingham Forest have, you know, played better. I mean, I guess we could say well under Nuno Espirito Santo. They got the win against Newcastle. They got the win against Manchester United. I'm still not sold that they're just like this new team that's just going to be filling up goals kind of thing. They still have some defensive issues. We saw that in the first and second leg against Blackpool in the FA Cup. They put out, you know, some fairly strong squads, but those games were 2-2. And then I believe they needed extra time to win that second leg this past week. Speaking of extra time, Brentford also needed extra time in their trip to Wolverhampton, though they lost. I do think so. Nottingham Forest, their match was Wednesday. Brentford played Tuesday, though. Let me confirm that really quickly. Yeah, so Brentford, both teams played in extra time. Brentford actually have a day more rest, though. So you got, what, 120 minutes for Nottingham, a lot of these Nottingham Forest guys on Wednesday. So this is a pretty quick turnaround for a team that already has a lot of absences, as you can see on our injury list. And so you throw Ivan Toney in, Reguilón, if he starts. I just think he will, because the options are slim for Brentford. No Gibbs White also hurts. Brentford at home, we always talk up, or at least I always talk up, Thomas Frank, master motivator. They've lost seven of their last eight league matches. Yeah. They're actually getting some pieces back. I believe last time we saw Brentford in league play, though I guess maybe he got it. There's been so many cup matches. I'm just thinking of Mathias Jensen. I guess that was I think against Everton in maybe the FA Cup or something, where he got injured, but he's back nevertheless. So they're getting some players back. They're getting some. Ben Mee also had a 3-game suspension, so he's going to be back in the back line. It's been a couple weeks since Brentford had a league match, so I'm just trying to remember everything that's happened in cup play for them. But I just think they're in a spot here. You know, you look at the table, and it's like, oh, Brentford are actually kind of near the bottom. They're kind of fighting relegation. I felt like earlier in the season, it was like Brentford top 10 bet kind of a thing. Brentford looking really well kind of thing, but seven of the last eight games they've lost. And I think, you know, coming out of this small league break, because of, you know, they've had a bunch of cup matches, I think maybe this is the time with Toney in here. They added Reguilón. He's gotten a lot of comparison to Rico Henry. So I think maybe this is the start of the turnaround here. So I'm going Brentford to win at minus 115.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, they have been so poor lately, they have not been good. Looking at their home, and also they've been, you know, talk about Thomas Frank. I mean, their defensive setup has been pretty bad.
They lost all their fullbacks, so they've been mixing and matching fullbacks, which just kind of changes, you know, a little bit everything.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the last few matches here, 4-1 at home. These are all at home for Brentford, but 4-1, they lost to Wolves. I mean, you can't give up four goals to Wolves. I don't care who you are. 2-1 to Villa, which, you know, Villa, a top side of the season. And then beat Luton Town, 1-0, lost to Arsenal, and a 3-2 win over West Ham. So, been a fair bit of goals. And then you even look across at Nottingham Forest, and them away from home, is they somehow came away with a 3-1 win recently over Newcastle, which is a great result for them. Newcastle, of course, is you know, struggling due to their own injuries. I would say there's, you know, don't have enough pieces really, but a lot of goals in all the games here. I think, you know, despite Brentford's kind of inability to find the back of the net as of late, they've been conceding a lot of goals, and I feel like we might see like a 2-1 kind of, you know, maybe 3-2 type of game.
Yeah, I think that's a good bet. I think there's going to be goals in this one. I'll do some single game parlay, throw in Toney.
Yeah,
maybe Brentford corners, but get Brentford to win over 2.5 goals, Brentford over 1.5 goals, whatever. And you can get up there +200, +300 odds, something like that.
Yeah.
Next game we got Chris's team here. Bournemouth, our home. Bournemouth are +340 against Liverpool, are -140 to win. The solid news of the solid injury does not affect us here, but he picked up an injury with Egypt yesterday. We'll see what happens with that. But the draw is +330, and then we're getting over 3.5 goals is +120, under 3.5 goals is -150, under 2.5 goals is +165. So I don't think we're going to get really I think Klopp's press conference basically said we're not really getting anyone back. So no one's coming back for Liverpool. We know the injuries. I guess Conor Bradley hasn't started in league play yet. His one start came in the FA Cup, I want to say. So if you did not watch that one, if you're unfamiliar, Conor Bradley started the first game that Trent Alexander-Arnold was injured. So he's going to be at right back, and then we'll see how they line up everywhere else. One thing I'll say for Bournemouth is they have a bunch of injuries here, and I actually have Marcus Tavernier projected to be their left back. So Milos Kerkez is out. Adam Smith is out. Lloyd Kelly is not 100%. Not going to be ready to start, I don't believe. And then Dango Ouattara, who had been playing left back, he's also out. Ryan Fredericks is another fullback. He's out. So basically, they have no fullbacks. Tavernier started at left back in their recent FA Cup match. And then the other side of that, Max Aarons, who was out for like 3 months, he's back and he's started a couple matches here. So a bunch of absences for Bournemouth. Their back line is very suspect in a spot against Liverpool. I should also say Marco Senesi is suspended. So yeah, they also have a different center back next to Zabarnia. So a lot of changes here on this Bournemouth back line, something you don't want when you're facing Liverpool. But how much does it matter maybe that, okay, Bournemouth are at home? Is Liverpool just going to, you know, throw down five goals on them against a
certainly helps that Bournemouth is home. It's not, although, you know, you look at their record at home and they're three wins, three draws, three losses. So it's not like they've been, you know, the best home team. In fact, I think they've taken more points away from home, which is pretty, you know, I guess not common for most teams. But yeah, the defensive worries for Bournemouth are tough. And then I didn't see the Dominic Solanke injury, but it looks like on our lineup stage he's questionable.
He's fine. He's fine. He had a knock and he missed their cup match like 2 weeks ago. Fine.
Okay. So he should probably play. Yeah, that said, I mean, I think you look at the Liverpool lineup, they're going to be missing, you know, upwards of probably four starters at least, if you think about it. I mean, Salah, probably five starters. Szoboszlai, Salah, Robertson, Trent, and then, you know, Matip for whatever. He's, you know, borderline starter, I guess, with Konate in there. But
we'll say borderline on Matip there.
What's that?
We'll say borderline.
Yeah,
I want to call him a regular starter
to start the season before it blew out his wheel. But
I
think what this game kind of like the over unders are kind of crazy that you got to go to 3.5 to hit the over and get like plus odds. That was what stood out to me initially. I watched. Yeah, I mean, I think the most recent game was their game against Fulham, where it was 2-1. They like really struggled to the first probably 70 minutes until they brought on Gakpo and Nunez. They struggled to create chances. It was just like super bland and not really, you know, Jota was probably their best player on the pitch that day. I was really surprised to see that you had to go all the way to over 3.5. I think this game's going to lack goals. I do. They're missing, you know, a lot of their creators in the midfield. They're, you know, in terms of Endo as well. No Szoboszlai, guys who are moving the ball up the pitch. I think, you know, despite the one thing that does concern me about like an under bet is the fact that Bournemouth are pretty knocked up or pretty knocked around. knocked around defensively. They're lacking some typical starters too, but I mean, they're going to probably start Harvey Elliott, who I love as a sub, but he just like doesn't bring it, you know, enough maybe off the in the starting 11, at least from what I've seen.
I mean, he's not Salah, so
yeah, right. I mean, you're putting like a 20 whatever 22 21 year old out there on the right who's not, you know, he lacks pace for a guy who's sitting on his at a desk chair, you know, talking about soccer. So I do think, you know, I think they bring maybe Nunez off the bench again. He was very decisive when he came on, two assists right away in that game over Fulham. And that went over Fulham. So anyways, enough about all that. My bet is I think this game's going to – I think it's like 1-0, 2-0. And it's – last time I looked, but I think you mentioned last time it was under 2.5 is plus 175. I think I see this being pretty low scoring. I think this morning you said it was plus 165 for the under 2.5 now. So little odds are going towards –
depends where you look probably, yeah.
Yeah, so this is not typical where I go in terms of the number, but I think it's good to explore here. Four of Liverpool's five last away matches have been under 2.5. They beat Burnley 2-0, that 2-1 win over Crystal Palace, 2-0 to Sheffield United, 1-1 against Manchester City and 1-1 against Luton Town. So, I mean, there's a few teams in there aside from City that are a similar caliber of what they're going to face at Bournemouth. And, you know, likely Bournemouth lacking some guys up front or in defense are going to probably try to pack it in and play that kind of style against these guys.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested to see just how Bournemouth play this one, given the defensive absences. And then you have Semenyo, who has been a regular for the most part of the season. He's away at AFCON as well. So there are some more changes going on. We could see Cook, Christie, and Alex Scott all start. I don't believe that's actually happened this season, and that would be maybe more defensive. But just a tough spot. I think your bet, you know, under 2.5 goals at plus 165, 175, whatever, you know, it kind of makes sense. You are, as you said, just worried about Bournemouth's back line, but Liverpool away from home, they score fewer goals, which I guess, you know, that's the case with everyone, but just comparison, 26 goals at home, 17 away. Those matches do seem just to be a little more not as up and down, I guess, as some of those home matches where then you take out Salah and that kind of a thing. You know, maybe Bournemouth, maybe Iraola has his guys, you know, ready to go despite some absences. But you're getting a ton of value here with under 2.5 goals. And if you think it's going to be low scoring, maybe you just ignore the fact that, you know, under 3.5, whatever. You just ignore it. Let's just go for more money kind of thing. So are you thinking 2-0 Liverpool, or do you think Bournemouth getting a point?
I honestly am a little weary of Bournemouth getting a point here. They're tough at home. Liverpool, I mean, they are coming off a slight, like, what is it, a week, 10-day break, I think, from their last match, which helps, but it's not like they're returning anyone from injury. So
yeah,
it's like that. There's not that boost of like getting a player back in the starting lineup. I
think 15 days.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised to see like a 1-1 here. Liverpool love playing from behind too. So if you're like, there's some crazy stat out there about how many times they've like come back to either get points from losing positions. So if you're into that, you can get Bournemouth first goal plus 140. Liverpool have been conceding plenty of goals, you know, off the jump to the opponent. So if you're into that, check out that. And even Bournemouth double chance is plus 110. If you're like, okay, Liverpool missing a bunch of pieces, I think Bournemouth can take a point at home. Maybe parlay them both. That could be an interesting, that could be a fun parlay too.
Parlay them both. I guess I haven't given my bet yet. I'm going over 10.5 corners here at minus 110. I was kind of, you know, all the absences, the absences for both teams. So I'm thinking, maybe not thinking the same as what Chris is, but, you know, maybe these teams both struggle to score. But I think, you know, not the A midfield, not the A back line for Liverpool, and not the A back line for Bournemouth. Maybe it's just, you know, some mistakes on the back line. Maybe it's a little more open in the midfield kind of thing, where Bournemouth can get corners, Liverpool can get corners. So if I think both teams can get corners, let's just take over on corners. So we're at over 10.5 corners is minus 110. Let's just say, okay, maybe it's back and forth, but both teams struggle to score, and then both our bets hit.
Yes, that could be the case.
Will be the case. All right, that is. I guess I will say Liverpool had an 11-day break, and then 3 days after this one, they do have the second leg against Fulham. So
yeah, I do want to give out one more bet because it's worth noting. Dominic Solanke, anytime goal scoring odds, plus 150. This is a revenge game. Always good to think about. He's been pretty good for Bournemouth too up front. I think, you know, you mentioned that he should play despite having a little mini knock. So always good to think about the revenge game, goal scoring odds.
Big revenge game. Yeah, this is Klopp. Klopp actually is a big, massive fan of Solanke. One of our writers, Ian was letting me know. He's sending me some quotes on Klopp talking about Solanke and how he's like one of his favorite players kind of thing.
Yeah, it is a bit it is interesting what he said about him. But, I mean, he was never – good for him now, you know, being very – he's been really good this season for Bournemouth. And I think they sold him for like 18 million. It's like they sold it like him and Rian Brewster around the same time. and both got a little bit of money back, which is kind of Brewster. I don't know whatever happened to him. But yeah, Solanke's been, you know, really coming into form this season, which is, you know, you like to see.
One more note here. When these teams last season at Liverpool, it was that 9-0 match where Liverpool won. The reverse fixture, Bournemouth won 1-0.
Yeah.
So it's in play. Bournemouth 1-0. Maybe we get that here. Maybe we get Bournemouth 1-0 and Liverpool have like 20 corners because they're just pressing for the final 80 minutes of the game, something like that.
Yeah.
We got Monday Night Football, though. Then the third game we're talking about, Brighton are home against Wolverhampton. Brighton are minus 160, pretty sizable here against a Wolverhampton team who has played a bunch of matches, you know, when you compare the teams. Wolverhampton are plus 400 to win. The draw is plus 320. And then we're going to get over 2.5 goals is minus 165. Under 2.5 goals is plus 165. If you want to bet over 3.5 goals, that's plus 150. And just speaking of in terms of when these teams last played, so Wolverhampton, they had the two legs against Brentford. So Wolverhampton played, I guess this game's Monday, so maybe not as big of an issue there. They had the two FA Cup matches, and then Brighton actually have 16 days since they played in the FA Cup against Stoke City. So Brighton, I believe Brighton are one of the teams that went down south to warm weather train. So, you know, they're a little more rested up than Wolverhampton, just a little bit here. But Brighton at home, what do you got, Chris?
Yeah, I looked at two different things here. There was a couple things that popped out to me, but I think you look at both their records. I mean, so Brighton at home, Wolverhampton away from home, just so many goals as of late. You know, Brighton, their past five matches, what they had back-to-back 1-1 draws with Fulham and Sheffield. Then they beat Brentford 2-1. They drew Burnley 1-1. And then, of course, this was back before Christmas. They won 4-2 against Tottenham. So it's been a bit since they've played at home here, like nearly, I mean, almost a whole month. So kind of wild in that endeavor. And then Wolverhampton lately been really, they did just beat Brentford away from home in a 4-1 result. I guess that was also about a month ago, right before the holidays too. But other than that, they lost 3-0 to West Ham, 2-1 to Arsenal, 3-2 to Fulham, 2-1 to Sheffield. So plenty of goals in both clubs at home and away. The first thing I looked at was like both teams to score. That, however, is minus 150. Fun note is that opponents have scored against Brighton in every single home Premier League match for them. So they've yet to keep a clean sheet at home. And then, you know, you're not really getting good odds there on the minus 150. Oddsmakers think there's going to be a fair bit of goals. I will say Wolverhampton have one draw away from home this season in 10 total matches. They've won three, they've drawn one, and they've lost six matches. So that leads me to believe I want to get a little bit better odds. I don't typically like this bet because you need a few things to happen, but I'm taking the jump this weekend and going to go both teams to score, no draw. It's plus 130, so slightly better odds.
You need three goals, but it just can't be 2-2.
Yeah, exactly. But you need both teams to score and you need somebody to win. So it's pretty much like a parlay without being a parlay. You know, you're not getting those odds, but yeah, that's where I'm at. I think we see like a 3-1 game. I think Brighton will probably just like shovel some goals in.
Yeah, so it's a tough one just to look at. I mean, we saw the over under odds. And Wolverhampton have been playing really well. They just advanced past Brentford. They've just kind of figured things out a little bit. Maybe not a little bit, but a lot. Was it their last league game was on the 30th, so that's kind of crazy. It's now the 19th. They have, so I guess that's the winter break for you. I think they've had three cup matches since that. I guess it's only two cup matches. They weren't in the League Cup, so... So I guess they've had some rest, but they've been playing well. At first, it was a lot of, okay, they're getting goals off the counter kind of thing. Now they are playing a little differently, but João Gomes, who's been a big part of that, their central midfielder, he is suspended for this one. They also don't have Heechan, though they do get Pedro Neto has been playing since his return from injury, so that's a boost for them because he was out for a couple months or so. Brighton were kind of – they had a big stretch of some pretty iffy, poor results in there. They had that 6-1 result against Aston Villa. And then they tweaked some formation stuff around, and they have looked a little better in recent games. They got those 4 goals against Tottenham, which is probably maybe the highlight there. But they have this midfield where, first of all, they got Estupiñán back, but James Milner has been playing in like this midfield role with Pascal Gross and Billy Gilmore. They just kind of had to tweak a bunch of stuff up because Miedema has been out as well. So that needless to say, I've kind of didn't really have a thought of where to go here. You couldn't even take Wolverhampton double chance to get decent odds. And then what I said, Brighton -160. So I'm going with another corner bet, just take it there. So instead of taking Brighton corners in the first half, because in a lot of these games, Wolverhampton, they get off on the counter and they get corners themselves. Let's just take over 4.5 corners in the first half, -120. The way these teams play, I think it's going to be, okay, Brighton may have the majority of possession, but I think Wolverhampton will get on the counter and then force some corners themselves. So I think both teams will get a couple corners at a minimum, and 5 corners is nothing. So over 4.5 corners in the first half at -120, and then Chris has both teams to score no draw at +130.
You mentioned the Wolves, no, the double chances. I had +125 last night. I would need to double check again, but
oh, is it okay?
Yeah, so I mean, not terrible, but like I said, Wolves just one draw away from home all season, so
they're either going to win or they're going to lose.
Yeah, they're not. We refuse to let them draw here, so.
Yeah, I guess they're +400 to win. That does seem kind of strong, given how well Wolves are playing.
Yeah, they've been great. I mean, FA Cup, they had that two. I guess it wasn't two legs, but the replay where they just won on penalties over Brentford. I think it was penalty. No, it was extra time. Sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, otherwise, yeah, they've been in great form. You know, they have won their last three. At least their last three EPL games. So yeah, this is actually a fun one. This is Monday, if I'm correct, right?
Yeah. I mean, you can look at it like, okay, Brighton have 16 days between games, and Wolverhampton just played 120 minutes this past week. But yeah, I don't know if I want to put too much into that. I believe actually Wolverhampton also went down south the warm weather between their two legs in the FA Cup, but.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Nevertheless, we got our team parlay up. So, Chris, what are you going with? You're looking at this West Ham-Sheffield United match, which has, like I guess every game we're talking about, a lot of absences.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, quickly before we get into the parlay, you know, all these teams are going on warm weather trainings. I think Man City was in like Saudi Arabia or something like that. I saw a couple other teams are in some warm weather trainings. Adam, when do you think that RotoWire is going to get us in a little warm weather training and like get us out on a beach? You know, maybe like a couple cooler, some kits and beers, maybe some beers and wagers. I've been kind of wondering that myself.
I'm gonna say. That's never going to happen.
Maybe it's the annual RotoWire trip to Vegas. Maybe we'll.
Based off the last few weeks, what I'll say, it's never going to happen. I guess Ian is saying Vegas, he thought Vegas was the warm weather training. I guess you could look at it like that. Vegas in the summer when it's 120 degrees, That is our warm weather training.
Yeah, that's fair. I missed last year, so I maybe I'll have to get back out there and consider that my warm weather training. But anyways, back to business here on the parlay. I'm glad you messaged me earlier this morning. I had sent out West Ham money line because I was considering that at +120, but they're missing, similar to Liverpool, they're missing Jared Bowen, Paqueta, Kudus, who's playing in AFCON right now. And then Benrahma is suspended. So they're missing a ton of guys. And, you know, it's never good. I mean, God bless him, but it's never good when you're trotting out Danny Ings as your starting forward in an EPL game. I love the guy. Love his work rate and everything he's done, but that's just not a recipe for a ton of goals, I don't think, especially at this age. So they're playing. I mean, they have most their midfield's pretty much, at least the kind of anchors with Alvarez and JWP are in there. I think what they're gonna do, and then it looks like we have Divin Mubama in at forward. I don't know much about that.
He's a young stud. Either going to be him or Maxwell Cornet.
Okay. All right. I don't know much about Divin, unfortunately. Maybe I'll find out a lot.
I think he's like 19.
Okay. All right. Well, let's hope we find out a lot more about him this weekend. But anyways, all that said, I was on West Ham Moneyline. I'm a little weary of that now. I do think this is going to be a very low scoring affair. The most recent matches for West Ham is crazy. It's like pretty much everyone's a shutout to some capacity. They lost to Bristol City this past week in the FA Cup 1-0. They did try there. That was a replay. So it was 1-1 in the previous match, but it was 0-0 Brighton, 2-0 to Arsenal, 2-0 to Manchester United. You know, you look, there's like three more shutouts in their past five games. So just not a ton of goals. I like, no, on both teams to score. That's at +100. I think that West Ham defensively, they'll be fine, but they'll be playing in a style which is typical to David Moyes' fashion, which is a little, you know, counterattacking. They're pretty strong in the players that they're going to put in the starting 11 in the back half of the lineup, but they're just lacking the typical guys that you'd see up front. I mean, maybe Danny Ings, you know, turns back the clock a bit here and finds the back of the net. But there's the Sheffield United aspect of this too. It's not like they've bitten me a lot this season, which kind of pisses me off. But on my bets, but I don't have a ton of faith in what they're trotting out up front. And you know, all that considered, yeah, I think both teams to score here is a play.
Yeah, Mubama. Maybe at least before the season, it was like Mubama is going to be the perfect West Ham striker kind of thing. Just needs a little more time. I think he's kind of like they want him to turn into Kudus, but they got Kudus, so they don't really need him to be Kudus. But maybe right now, because Kudus is away on AFCON, maybe they need him to be that. He started over Ings. I don't think Moyes likes Ings too much. Or I think there's actually, I don't know if there's rumors just about him, just like, leaving during the transfer window, but because they have no one else, it's like, okay, we actually need to play him because we have no one else. So that's an interesting situation. But yeah, if you can't score at Bristol City, I know they're down a guy for about the final 50 minutes. I don't really have a ton of faith in them either. Sheffield United maybe playing a little better under Chris Wilder, so you got that as well. My bet, part of this parlay, is an Arsenal corner bet because it's Arsenal. They're going to have 70% possession, something like that. They're going against a team without Michael Elise. You know, this Crystal Palace team, maybe about a month ago, it was Roy Hodgson out kind of thing. And they had these two legs against Everton where, you know, they just lost 1-0 against Everton. They subbed out Eze at like the 66th minute. They don't have IU and a lot of these guys. And I don't know, maybe this is one of those games where it's like, okay, Roy Hodgson, we're gonna just like get a goal 1-0 and then eke out, I don't know, something. But Crystal Palace just really haven't, partly because of injuries, they really haven't shown a lot. But I'm just going Arsenal -1.75 corners in the first half. I think this is a spot where okay, Arsenal have been struggling to score. They've been off for a little bit now, but they've been struggling to score. I think they're just going to try and put it on early. They're going to be in the attacking third for, I don't know, the majority of the first half here. It's going to lead to corners. So we got Arsenal minus 1.75 corners in the first half against Crystal Palace. Minus 115. Chris has no on both teams to score between Sheffield United and West Ham. That's plus 100. That equals plus 273 odds. Team parlay, there it is. Let me pull up the cheat sheet. Chris could not find it, but I found it clicking through some rankings here. So the cheat sheet for the second half of game week 21 is right here. You got to click on like the Fantrax or the FPL rankings for game week 21, and the link is in there. So there you go.
That's it. If I couldn't find it, there's probably a good chance somebody else couldn't find it.
What are you gonna do? I guess there's nothing else to talk about here. Chris has to move. We've talked about all these games. Do you think Arsenal are gonna finally get back on the winning track here?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they pretty much have mostly. I mean, I think you have Trossard in the starting 11 or in the starting lineup here for them, which I love because
see if Jesus is ready to start. That's one of the questions.
Yeah, I mean, he would be a good addition, but it's not like in Reece Nelson or Nketiah have really brought a whole lot to the starting lineup for them. At least, you know, not a ton of goals. I mean, Reece Nelson, I think, started that FA Cup match. Yeah. And they were just poor that game. But yeah, a London derby here, it would be Arteta. I mean, I've been joking about this to my, you know, Arsenal friends who are fans. This keeps going south, man. Arteta, like that hot seat, man. It might be getting a little hotter here. So I think they need a win. He's, you know, they're obviously not. I say that like tongue in cheek, but they are due for a result here any day now.
Arteta hot seat. I don't know if I'm going that far.
There's a huge group chat I'm in about EPL, and I was, you know, gleefully watching that FA Cup win over Arsenal and just ripping. I was a menace with the Arteta hot seat takes.
That was an interesting game. Is that the game? Is that the first game Bradley started, or is it a different one?
It might. No, you're talking about
Connor Bradley.
Connor Bradley. Yeah, no, he came in against somebody in the away mat. There was an away.
Oh, he got injured in the Arsenal game. That's right. Okay. TAA did. Okay.
No. I think he was out for that game. But Bradley came in an away game, I thought,
he got injured in that game and played through the injury. That's what happened
against Arsenal. Yeah, he played in the six, and Bradley slid in and right, and then Bradley started the League Cup game against Fulham the following match.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just saying that TA got hurt in that game. He played through the injury and then made it worse. All for the win against Arsenal.
Hey, needed it.
That's all we got, though. rotowire.com/soccer trial, 48-hour trial to get this cheat sheet, I guess. But also, let's win some bets. Chris had some wins last week. We need to get that team parlay back because the money total is not looking good on the team parlay, but let's give a shout to Chris on his traveling day and thank him for jumping on this show and giving some free bets out to the people before he moves out in the West Coast. You got rain over there? How's the weather for your move?
It's out. It's Seattle, man. It's always rainy. It's ground. Yep, ground looks wet.
Okay, there you go.
But luckily, just moving down the street a bit, so I don't gotta like drive a U-Haul or nothing. So.
Luckily, you don't get the Arctic frost that we're getting over here.
Looks brutal in the Midwest.
We got a couple feet of snow. I had the blizzard kit on last week. Got all the shoveling done. Now it's going down to negative temperatures tonight. So that's just the Midwest for you. It's a lot of fun out here, but we're gonna get some rain next week. So it's gonna be really muddy pretty soon. But Chris, thanks for joining me. You can find him on Twitter at @chr018. I am at @rotozadroik. Thanks for watching, everyone, and we'll see when we're back because there are no games next weekend. Oh, there is FA Cup
next weekend.
And then the following week, it is Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday matches. So we're going to talk about the schedule. We'll see about Chris's recording room. That is another question as well in his new – it is new a humble abode there. But thank you, Chris. We'll see everyone. Let's win some bets.
Thanks, Adam.